Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Critics of the North Carolina Public Facilities and Security Act probably have never read the law or intentionally misrepresent it. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. Holly, there's a lot of criticism that has been waged against North Carolina for signing this law that's called the Public Facilities and Security Act. And what it does in North Carolina is establish a uniform system of non-discrimination categories, and the consequence of which is it overruled the Charlotte Ordinance, the so-called bathroom bill that they passed that allowed men to use the women's restrooms, locker rooms, and shower rooms. I think, frankly, those that are criticizing this law have never read it, or they're intentionally misrepresenting the meaning of this law.
Well, you know, it's easy for us to get on a bandwagon if we don't know something. Then we all want to chime in thinking, oh, we don't want to discriminate against anyone. But when you say common sense, it's like, I think we're just throwing common sense out the window when we are not, or when we are having to pass these kind of ordinances to be able to protect women against men coming into bathrooms.
Well, you know, let's look at this particular law in terms of, let's go into what this law actually did. You have to look at the Charlotte Ordinance. The Charlotte Ordinance is the precursor to this state law. And except for a very limited application to companies that contract with the city of Charlotte, the Charlotte Ordinance did not even deal with employment. So the employment with regards to the employers within Charlotte is the same before and after. So this new law that came in from the state, the North Carolina legislation, you know, people are saying, well, that means that you're going to discriminate against people who are gay and lesbian, you're going to be able to fire them, and blah, blah, blah. Let's look at the real issues. The Charlotte Ordinance never dealt with employment. Right. Never did. Why? Because the Charlotte Ordinance itself says, on the face of it, that the employment is a statewide regulation and they have no authority to regulate it. So what did the Charlotte Ordinance try to do? It said that if you are going to contract with the city, if you have a contract for providing services or goods with the city, it's only in that limited area that they were going to try to regulate the employment. Meaning that if you're a company that is not located in Charlotte, but you're in another part of North Carolina, and you're contracting to provide goods or services to Charlotte, then you have now this conflict because your law of employment, because of your contract with Charlotte, says one thing, but your law outside of Charlotte says something else. So it puts the employer at a complete contrast of laws and puts them in a real morass of situation. So it never dealt with employment in general, except in the limited situation.
But if I was visiting or I came in and used a public bathroom, I would be at risk for a man coming to the bathroom.
It did deal with the public accommodations with regards to the use of the bathroom.
What about schools?
It did with regards to the public schools, for example, tell the public schools in Charlotte that you had to allow boys to use women's restrooms or that you had to allow men to use women's restrooms or shower rooms or locker rooms. So that's really what it did. It was a public facilities law that literally opened up the restrooms, the locker rooms, and the shower rooms. And all three of those are mentioned in the Charlotte Ordinance to men or boys. That's really what this law was about. So, you know, this histrionic thing from these employers that say, well, we're not going to contract there anymore. You know, this bill is really a bathroom bill. For lack of a better term, it is a bathroom, restroom, shower room bill. That's what the Charlotte Ordinance was. The fact of the matter is that North Carolina reaffirmed the long-standing rule that employment law is a statewide regulation, and the employment law has got to be uniform across the state. If you want to change the employment law, then change it at the state level. The Charlotte Ordinance already acknowledged that that's the case. What it also then did is say, then the public facilities laws as well have to be uniform across the state as well. And there was only one place in Charlotte that opened up the women's shower rooms and restrooms and locker rooms to men. That was Charlotte. Now it's back to the uniform situation it was before. And it's common sense, frankly. Recently, a 51-year-old cross-dressing male in Georgia entered the women's restroom and exposed himself to women. They were obviously shocked and offended. In Minneapolis, a 15-year-old boy entered the girls' locker room where five girls were in various stages of undress. As they prepared for a basketball game, the boy looked around. He disrobed in front of the frightened girls. And when the girls and the parents complained, the school authority said, well, they can't prevent boys from using the girls' locker rooms because of the so-called transgender policy. So this is a common sense piece of legislation that North Carolina passed.
So we are so grateful, thank God, that they did pass this. But it's just, it's just unfathomable to me that here we are in the Bible Belt of North Carolina, and we're having to even deal with these issues. What is going on? What is going on with the church? What is going on with people here that we're having to deal with these issues?
Well, you know, the good thing is that North Carolina passed the law. So that's good.
He saw the light, yes.
It's not North Carolinians that are complaining about this, although I'm sure there's some, obviously, within North Carolina.
But they're getting all this heat from other people saying we're going to boycott.
It's the people outside. It's the NFL. It's Bruce Springsteen. It's actually, interestingly, a pornography website has now blocked all of North Carolina
from that could be a blessing.
Accessing the website. So here's some of the results. You're not going to have Bruce Springsteen in North Carolina. Not a big loss.
Well, no way.
You're not going to be able to have this pornography website in North Carolina. That's a development that's there. So North Carolina is a pretty good place to be.
Yes. Now in Georgia, the same thing is happening. And I guess the attorney general is saying no to that. And these other companies are also threatening to boycott it as well.
Yeah. You know, the fact of the matter is that these governors, these attorneys general, they need to stand up for common sense. They need to protect their citizens. Forget the NFL. The NFL ought to play football and they ought to just stay out of politics. They're not going to do very well by going into these particular areas. And frankly, you know, their threats are bogus. They're not going to pull the Super Bowl. They're not going to pull the NCAA championship away from these places. You know, we've seen good examples of leadership both on the legislative level and on the gubernatorial level in North Carolina. We need to see that in Georgia. We should have seen it. I was hoping that we'd have seen it last year in Indiana. Governor Mike Pence got weak knees. I was hoping we would see it in Arizona when they tried to pass a religious freedom bill and the former governor there got weak knees. But on the other hand, you move down to Mississippi, and what did Mississippi do? Mississippi saw all these things happening, not just with the transsexual, transgender laws, but what's happening after the marriage case, and they want to protect religious freedom. So the Mississippi governor just signed a bill that was passed in an overwhelming a vote by the legislature to protect religious freedom in that state, to acknowledge people's religious freedom. And you have the same problem. People around the country, the pundits, the liberals, those who are secularists, they are complaining about this law that protects basic religious freedom, which is the foundation of our country.
So we definitely need to pray, and we definitely need to speak up. You know, I know that I believe that Mississippi is considered the most religious state. So thank God there's still a church there. There's still leadership there that is standing for God's truth and God's principles. But we need to pray these other states would not succumb to the mighty dollar and would have the common sense to continue to uphold common sense, God's righteousness and all these issues, especially considering safety of women in bathrooms.
What you're seeing is the unmasking of this original agenda, and that original agenda is a clash of worldviews, and it is not only intolerant, but it wants to crush any opposition, particularly Judeo-Christian opposition that believes in Judeo-Christian historical common sense, created order, human sexuality between a man and a woman. Marriage is certainly part of that target. That is what the ultimate agenda is, to crush religious freedom, to crush any opposition. We're starting to see that where people are even opposing bills that protect religious freedom, something that is enshrined in the First Amendment and every constitution of every state. Religious freedom is a cherished principle. And when you try to reaffirm that, you have this opposition This is a clash of unprecedented proportions. We said it was coming a number of years ago. It's now here. Continue to stand with Liberty Counsel in both your prayers and your financial support. Visit lc.org, lc.org. We're on the front lines in all of these battles. Keep us informed. There is hope in Jesus Christ, and there is hope for those who stand. Join Liberty Counsel at lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website is lc.org. Become an active partner with Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation.